Hello and welcome to this podcast with your host, Paul Miller. Today I talk with Rick Telford, Vice President for Cloud Services at IBM. We get an update on IBM's activities with respect to the cloud and look particularly at some of their recent announcements in the healthcare domain. For more information on this show and others in the series, please see the show notes at cloudofdata.com. Thank you. Rick, thank you very much for joining me for this podcast today. Before we talk in a little more detail about IBM and their current work around the cloud, could I ask you to briefly introduce yourself and say a little bit about your background, please?
Absolutely. My name is Rick Telford. I'm the Vice President of Cloud Services here at IBM. I work in an organization that essentially is a catalyst organization driving our cloud strategy, our cloud vision, our cloud services across all of our business units. All the business units of IBM play an important role in cloud, whether it be the hardware, the software, or the services. And so my role is to help define what are those services we're going to bring to market and then work across our business units to help make them a reality.
And IBM are making quite a big bet in the cloud space, aren't they? I saw some recent figures in an IBM press release suggesting the cloud market is expected to grow at about 28% a year. Is that the market as a whole or IBM's piece of it?
Well, we see the market growing at about that clip as a whole. IBM specifically is looking at around $3 billion in incremental revenue by 2015. So we believe if you look at the cloud opportunity and you look at it from both the services provided from developing cloud infrastructures as well as being a provider of cloud services ourselves, we see a very large opportunity for IBM in this space.
And where do you see a company like IBM, which has been around for a long time, clearly been an important player in this space, where do you see it fitting in the cloud market and the way that that is evolving? You know, we've got consumer-facing services from people like Amazon and Rackspace, all the way through to essentially a completely managed solution from someone like Microsoft with Azure. Where does IBM fit in that picture?
Well, IBM, as you mentioned, has been one of the leading IT services companies for many years, delivering services through our hardware and our software, as well as our global services business. The cloud represents another delivery model of IT services. So, as the industry leader in delivering IT, IBM embraces cloud delivery model as part of our overall strategy. Essentially, cloud computing is not a technology per se. Cloud computing is all about thinking about a new way to deliver and consume IT services, whether they be, like you said, at the infrastructure layer. So the old way, you used to go out and buy a bunch of servers and install software on them and configure them and put them on your network. And that was your infrastructure. In the new way, you can choose to have that infrastructure delivered to you as a service. You mentioned Amazon and Rackspace and others. IBM is also delivering infrastructure as a service as one of the delivery options that we have for our clients. So we have compute and storage services where you can pay as you go and have elasticity, immediate elasticity in your ability to scale up or scale down. That's one of the benefits of cloud infrastructure, as opposed to guessing how much hardware you're going to need and then either having too much and having it sit idle or not have enough and having it be running at full capacity and being overburdened. in the cloud infrastructure delivery model, you have elasticity, so you can scale down when you don't need the resources or scale up when you need them. So it's a delivery model for infrastructure. It's a delivery model for software. It's a delivery model for business processes and industry solutions. So we're, from an IBM perspective, we're leveraging the concepts of cloud computing at all layers of the stack, if you will.
And how are your customers responding to that? I mean, I think, you know, some of the poster children of cloud computing very early on were essentially small startups that were growing very fast. IBM, certainly the perception from the outside would be that IBM tends to deal more towards the more stable, more established, you know, the Fortune 100 type organizations. How are they responding to this very different way of computing?
Well, as you'd expect, a large enterprise that has a lot of IT needs is going to take a little more cautious approach towards cloud computing than a company that's just starting up. So IBM has essentially been very much focused on bringing cloud computing to the enterprise, much like in prior years we've brought things like Linux to the enterprise. Before, you know, IBM stepped in, Linux was also, you know, you could see some parallels there, used primarily by small companies, startups, companies that couldn't afford, you know, software, and they were focused on open source. IBM stepped in and said, you know, Linux with these additions and changes is acceptable for the enterprise, and we invested a lot of money and worked with our partners, and now we're seeing Linux as one of the operating systems embraced by large enterprises. Cloud, sort of the same thing. IBM has stepped in and said, you know, there's something to this delivery model that's going to make a lot of sense for the enterprise, and we can help our clients figure out the best way to take advantage of this IT delivery model, and that's what we've been focused on. So we work with a number of clients. I think originally we saw a couple workloads, a couple sweet spots where cloud made an immediate impact, and that was a lot of our success in 2009 going into 2010, which was in the development and test area. And we recently, you know, have won awards and accolades around our development and test solutions. But now we're seeing a much broader based adoption, and we're working with clients in other areas as well for their production workloads and leveraging cloud computing.
And as you move into the production space, you presumably come up very quickly against, you know, this oft-cited concern of security. You know, oh dear, you know, the cloud isn't secure. If we use the cloud, everyone will be reading all our data. You know, it's irresponsible, etc., etc., etc. Presumably, you would say that's not true.
Well, it's certainly not true in the solutions we deliver, because we don't lower our standards, and IBM has always been the standards bearer for, you know, security in the enterprise. We don't lower our standards for cloud. I wish I could say that's not true across the industry. You know, that was the same case across the industry. So what I tell clients, whether they're using IBM or not, don't lower your security standards. If your cloud service provider cannot provide you the level of data privacy, the level of security that you expect or expect of yourselves within your own data center, then you shouldn't be doing business with that cloud service provider. So we have taken our security framework that we've used for years, both in our own systems and helping clients build secure data centers, and applied it to all the things we do in cloud. So we look at physical security, we look at access control, we look at data security, we look at data privacy, and then we have a set of policies around each of those to ensure that our cloud solutions are as secure as any solutions we build for our clients or for our own data centers.
So as a broader trend, you know, clearly every time someone surveys a load of CIOs, cloud security always comes up as top of the list of concerns. Now, partly you would expect them to be concerned, but you're suggesting that the industry can actually demonstrate ways to mitigate those concerns. How do we carry that forward so that security isn't top of the list next time someone asks a bunch of CIOs? And is the answer they should all buy IBM, or is there a broader set of solutions we can put in place as an industry?
Well, I definitely agree we can do some things across the industry. I mean, IBM has always been an active participant in standards, security and otherwise, and I think cloud is no different. I think as an industry, we need to look at, you know, two things. Number one is, are we applying the existing security standards to cloud? So we're a standard or a set of security rules exist. Let's leverage those in cloud. You know, whether it be, you know, simple things like, you know, secure sockets for connections, or, you know, encryption standards for data, etc. And where there's a need for new security standards, you know, maybe how you partition tenants within a multi-tenant cloud infrastructure, or how you securely share data between an enterprise and its cloud service. These are opportunities for the industry to work together towards a common standard, so that what happens then is clients can say, okay, you know, this company is has signed up for this set of standards, and therefore we can feel more confident that we can do business with them. It's almost like the UL standards in or good housekeeping seal of approval or something like that. I believe those types of standards will evolve over time when it comes to public cloud services.
Okay, which usefully we can take a step back from the security specific standards there to talk about standardizing the cloud in general. Now, clearly there have been efforts like the Open Cloud Manifesto from about a year ago, trying to reach some shared view of cloud components and the way that a cloud should work. More recently, there have been things like OpenStack. Is the time right to start standardizing the cloud or clouds, or are we still too early?
Well, I think we've actually already started in segments standardizing the cloud, because, as I mentioned before, with respect to the specific example of security standards, in the cloud standard world in general, there's two aspects to it. There's leveraging existing standards where it makes sense, and then defining new standards where we don't have them. And if you go back and look at the Open Cloud Manifesto, that's essentially what it says as well. So things like OVF, right, which is the Open Virtualization Format, that's a standard that arose independent of cloud, but it's all around what is the file format for a virtualized image, and how do you define that in an open and standards-based way. Well, a lot of what you do in cloud is provisioning of virtualized images. So, you know, IBM very much has been a supporter of OVF and can provision, you know, OVF-based images within our clouds. KVM is another example. KVM is the kernel-based, the Linux kernel-based hypervisor. It's open, and it's part of an open OS. So IBM has embraced and endorsed that as part of our cloud solutions as well. And then, you know, additional work needs to be done in places like infrastructure access APIs, you know, service definitions, and you know, as those efforts get underway, IBM will participate.
Sounds good. And at a simple level, we have seen some recognition of, you know, the large player in the sort of consumer startup space is clearly still Amazon. Some recognition that perhaps some of their specifications are becoming de facto standards in that space. Does that work at the enterprise level as well, or are we looking for a different set of specifications there?
Well, you know, I think time will tell on that one. I think de facto standards can sometimes be problematic. I mean, not to say that a de facto standard approach isn't going to work. I can't tell you right now if that makes sense or not. I can tell you that having been around IT for 27 years and seeing standards in every aspect of the IT industry come and go and looking for patterns of which ones succeed and which ones fail, you know, one of the things that causes a de facto standard to fail is if, you know, who controls the evolution of the standard. I mean, if you create a de facto standard based on somebody's existing API, and then that company changes that API, you're constantly in chasing the tail of the dog, right? It's trying to keep up. As opposed to if you have a standards organization which, you know, has a process by which you know what changes are coming, which changes are approved, what version they're in, you know, those type of standards have a better chance of broader adoption. But, you know, there have been cases in IT over many years where de facto standards have established themselves and have been proven to be reliable. So I think for that particular one, the infrastructure API access, we're still in sort of the early stages there.
Okay. Now, it's perhaps worth remembering, you know, you're at IBM. Your chairman at the time, Tom Watson, back in, I think, 1958, according to Wikipedia, said that he thought there was a world market for no more than 5 computers. Clearly, he's been proved to have been slightly underestimating the market for computers at the time. But we're actually seeing similar statements being made now about the cloud, you know, that maybe we only need 3 or 4 big clouds and that all these players that we see at the moment will amalgamate or fall by the wayside and will end up with 3 or 4 big ones. Do you think that's true?
That was, it definitely shows you how nascent computing was back in 1958 for Tom Watson to make a statement like that. But, you know, similar statements were also made in the industry at the time of the personal computer. You know, people couldn't understand couldn't fathom the fact that every household would have a PC in it. Who would use a computer in a household, right? So these predictions have always been, you know, early in the market. Some people always will make a wild prediction, and sometimes they're accurate, and sometimes, most of the time, they're not. And I think this is a case where I'm not going to definitively say one way or the other, but this is a case where somebody is making an outrageous statement in the nascent years of an industry trend, and the odds are against that being the case. And the reason I say that is number one, I do believe that IT providers, that IT as in general, will consolidate. So the trend is clearly going to be there. You don't need every small mom and pop shop in the world having to know how to reboot servers and to back up their hard drives and all those kinds of things. The set of services that are so broadly distributed in today's IT world will consolidate. But to take it to the extreme and say that consolidation will go down to 3 big cloud vendors who will store all the data, provide all the computing power, I think that's a bit going too far in the other, you know, swinging the pendulum a little too far in the other direction. I think somewhere in the middle is a case where for small and medium businesses, they can all but get out of IT. I mean, that's what we'd like to see, is to be able to say, you know, you don't have to hire an IT administrator if you have less than, you know, so many employees, because you could get your IT as a service from folks like IBM, right, where email, you know, one of the most common applications is email, and for several dollars per employee per month, you can get that from Lotus Live today, and don't have to worry about maintaining and managing email systems or web conferencing systems or shared document spaces, right? So we'd like to see a lot of that IT consolidation happen. At the enterprise level, you know, it's flexibility where an enterprise can choose to move all or some of their IT to a to a cloud service provider like IBM. And we think some of that will happen, but it may not be 100%, which is why we have the concept of hybrid clouds, which is you can put some of your services in IBM's cloud, you can do some of them in your own data center, but it'll seamlessly interoperate. And that's a model we think will be the most common in the enterprise over the course of the foreseeable future. And then, of course, finally, you have the concept of industry-specific clouds, like the one we announced today, as a matter of fact, a collaborative care cloud for the healthcare industry. And we think we'll see a number of those by industry across, whether it's healthcare or government or retail or education, where there will be specific subject matter expert-based clouds targeted at specific industry areas where, you know, the cost of computing can be reduced and the value of the service can be increased. And where you have those two combinations, you'll see these industry clouds emerge.
So what would an industry cloud look like? Why is a healthcare cloud like the today's different from, say, a financial services cloud?
At the infrastructure level, it shouldn't be that different at all, because you have dynamically provisionable hardware and software, and that's the basis on which you build a particular cloud service that is performs a specific function and has a subscription or billing model that is built around that service. So let's take, for example, the collaborative care solution that IBM and Aetna announced today. It's based on a model that says a healthcare provider cannot afford to the huge investments, sometimes large investments, required upfront to do electronic patient records management systems and data analytics and other elements that are part of collaborative care, as opposed to that type of capital-intensive model, a cloud-based solution says, you know, for so many dollars per doctor per month, you get access to this solution, and that solution allows you to not only maintain your electronic patient records and all information about the patient, but do so securely, do so in the private cloud type model, and with the value, the value add of having industry leading analytics from IBM's research team and our Cognos team, be able to crunch that data and help the doctor look for trends, look for patterns, and make recommendations. So that's a value-add service that specifically comes out of the collaborative care cloud, and at a pricing model that's much more consumable than having to make an upfront investment for that type of IT service.
And presumably, if this approach works in a very heavily regulated environment like healthcare, then it should technologically be much easier, and it should also be cheaper, probably, to do it in almost any other vertical.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So if you can make this kind of thing work in healthcare, and you can see the value in healthcare, you know, you look at other industries and say, you know, what are the problems that they're facing, and how can you build targeted cloud solutions for those problems?
And in terms of deployment then into the healthcare space, clearly this has just been announced today, but what sort of customers are you looking at getting, and whereabouts are they in the world?
Well, over time we hope to address medical solution providers around the world, starting in the U.S. In the announcement today, we referenced a company in California, the Sharp Community Medical Group, who is about, I think it's about 60 primary care physicians and somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 specialists who are going to leverage and are leveraging the collaborative care solution, so that within their own medical group, that makes it much easier for them to share information back and forth. So if a patient gets sent from a primary care physician to a specialist, the specialist can put their information out of what comes out of that visit into the collaborative care solution, and it not only gets therefore shared immediately with the primary care physician, but also goes into that patient's record so that it can be analyzed and leverage any analytics that will potentially, you know, also make suggestions on treatment and patterns, etc. So you know, that group is called the Sharp Community Medical Group. I think they're a good example of who we think will embrace this type of solution.
Okay, so are these typically going to be organizations that have had some sort of in-house solution before, or are you looking to enter essentially virgin territory where it's simply been too hard for them to do anything before?
I think that is an indicative of a group. I think it's both a combination of people that healthcare providers that don't have this capability, as well as healthcare providers that have similar capabilities but are looking for a different, you know, approach and a different business model. So I think it'll be a combination of them.
And where would you go after health? Is there an obvious next step, or are you going to wait and see how this one goes?
We're actually working across multiple industries today, and you know, you'll see, we'll be over time delivering solutions in other areas besides healthcare. I think, you know, nothing. I don't have anything specific to talk about today, but you can envision similar solutions in government, in education, in retail. So, you know, we're actively involved in a number of industries.
And this all falls within the broader scope of Smarter Planet, presumably?
Absolutely. So you can see how cloud computing is an important component of our Smarter Planet initiative. So when we talk about smarter cities, some of the work we've done in traffic calming, in, you know, traffic control, those types of solutions can lend themselves very well to a cloud delivery model, so that you can have the ability to scale up as more and more cities or more and more governments participate in, whether it be, you know, smarter water solutions or smarter traffic solutions or what have you. So you can definitely see the linkage between having the cloud computing delivery model as one of the underlying foundations of Smarter Planet.
And Is there scope for this to start interoperating with other people's clouds? You know, clearly a lot of what we've talked about has been IBM technology, whether in an IBM data center or in a customer's data center. Is there scope to start pulling in Google, Microsoft, Amazon, whoever it may be?
You know, people are going to think this is a scripted podcast because that leads right into a point I did want to make anyway, which is part of what IBM is doing is we are actively involved in acquiring, you know, technology as it makes sense to help round out, you know, where we think the key areas of technology will be in cloud computing. And one of those is the one you mentioned, which is integration. As a company who many times finds itself as the primary IT provider for an enterprise, you know, we play the role of integrator a lot. Whether it be our own systems, our own public cloud systems, or otherwise. And so we recently purchased a company by the name of Cast Iron, specifically with that in mind. So what Cast Iron does is it provides the ability to integrate data and processes from different sources, both in-house traditional software applications, but the thing we liked that caught our eye about Cast Iron is that one of their focus areas is integration of cloud services within the enterprise. A lot of their early business was driven by Salesforce.com, and you know we will continue to enhance our ability through Cast Iron for enterprises that use systems like Salesforce.com, and they have customer information or their employees' access control information, etc., that they need to store in Salesforce. What Cast Iron does is provide a secure mechanism by which you can connect and integrate and keep in sync that information that you need to store in Salesforce with the same master data that is within your own data center, within your own enterprise, within your own firewall. So that's a long answer to a very good question, which is yes, we do believe that integration of other cloud services and cloud service providers is critical for the enterprise.
Okay, good. And scripting podcasts is an interesting idea. I should look at doing that. Okay, good. No, I mean, it is an important point that very few big players are going to have a single set of infrastructure in-house and amongst their partners. Do you think, I don't know what the answer to this would be, do you think we're going to see more standardization, you know, fewer players within a single customer, or do you think we're going to see greater diversity? I have no idea what the answer might be to that one.
Well, you know, I think it will go. I think, you know, now here we are just totally in you know, Rick's hypothesizing. I don't have necessarily data to back this one up. But, you know, my sense is cloud computing is still nascent. So, you know, there are enterprises that are now starting to embrace cloud services from various providers. So I think as cloud computing matures, you'll see an uptick of cloud services being delivered into the enterprise, followed by a consolidation. I mean, that's generally how these things go. And I'm not basing that on anything specific with cloud. I'm basing it more on trends I've seen in the enterprise in general, which is, you know, there is sort of a diversity of providers at first, and then consolidation happens in the industry and goes back and it goes down, you know, from there. So we'll see if that pattern holds true with cloud computing or not.
Okay, I'll check back in with you in a couple of years and see whether you were right.
Okay.
Or not. Okay, well, that's been an interesting wander around sort of where IBM is at the moment in the cloud, an update on the healthcare space, for example. And it's been good to talk with you. Thank you very much, Rick.
Great talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks. Goodbye.